I know we've got some questions about the Texans coaching staff and the way things are run, but take a listen to Tom Coughlin in Jacksonville, who is very upset that two of their players, Jalen Ramsey and Telvin Smith, did not report for the start of the off-season conditioning program. And Tom Coughlin was not happy.
Voluntary off-season program has begun. We're very close to 100% attendance, and quite frankly, all our players should be here. Building the concept of team, working hard side by side, constructing our bond of togetherness, formulating our collective priorities and goals. Not about rights and privileges, it's about obligations and responsibility. And the question is, can we count on you? Discipline, organizing your priorities, committing yourself to doing the things necessary to succeed, no shortcuts, no procrastination. Discipline is the refining fire by which talent becomes ability. Championship teams have one common denominator. They are comprised of individuals who have a burning desire to win, to be champions. Championship teams are dominated by selfless individuals who recognize that the welfare of the team must always be paramount to any other consideration.
That was
so Tom Coughlin is not happy.
Is he addressing Parliament? What the hell was going on there?
He was eating the microphone like it was his lunch.
sounded like a despot from the 1930s.
Yeah, it did. It sounded like his
like one of those old school speeches.
Is there any other GM or president that scripts their speeches like that? I mean, he's reading a. This is the.
He has to be reading something.
Third, oh no, he's definitely. Yeah. This is like the third or fourth time that he's done this, where he comes out and he delivers a scripted statement.
Because he had that whole spiel about Nick Foles when they signed him a month ago.
Right.
He's a winner and a Super Bowl MVP.
It was boy, this takes me right back to sitting in a meeting room and listening to a Tom Coughlin meeting, and I've got a little PTSD over it. Because there's a part of it that's like a good speech, but then there's a part of it that you're like, all right. This is a voluntary off-season program. You're not allowed as a coach or a president or a GM or anything.
You can't say anything.
It's supposed to be voluntary. Like it's they call them mandatory voluntary, but it's supposed to be voluntary. And coaches are really careful. Whenever you listen to Bill O'Brien or Brian Gain talk about a guy that's not here, they take great pains to be sure. They say, you know, hey, it's voluntary. No big deal. Whatever.
Have to be
even
here.
Though inside they might be dying. They know the rules. Like, yes. They get it. And so does Coughlin. Coughlin doesn't give a damn. He's just calling it out. Like, they might get fined for this. Or they might lose some OTAs or something just because he's so publicly called out. Jalen Ramsey and Telvin Smith.
Those are the two guys.
Yeah.
Telvin
Smith was kind of. Jalen Ramsey's not a huge surprise because Jalen Ramsey did it last year. And then he also has not had the best of relationships with the coaching staff and Tom Coughlin.
Seth, do you think it's a big deal if players are not showing up for these off-season workouts?
It's a big deal if on that team they like guys to be there.
Okay.
And like different teams have different cultures. A lot of teams just work it into the bonus structure, especially the northern teams like Green Bay, especially since they know it's a hard sell to get guys up there in Wisconsin in March or April. They'll have it built into the bonus structure. Some teams, it's not as big a deal, and they just, you know, if guys are there, they're there. But I think more and more teams really care about it. So it's always you gotta have a certain level about you, even on the teams that are more lax about you, for you just to be like, yeah, I'm just gonna go do my own thing. You gotta have some cachet if you're gonna be that guy.
Exactly. But it feels, Seth, like there are a lot of guys with cachet this offseason that are not reporting.
Are there, though?
I mean,
Odell Beckham Jr., but that's not a surprise.
I think that there have been more names than in years past than I think we would typically say.
Odell Beckham Jr.
I'll headline like Tom Brady's not going to be there for OTA.
Okay, so that was a big deal last year, too.
It's happening again.
Yeah.
There are a couple of other ones that I saw, and like I've been scrolling through Pro Football Talk, and basically when I've seen these names, I thought to myself, I feel like there are more this year than in years past, and it might be a little difficult to compare like who's reporting for OTAs and who's not at this time of year, but it is always funny to hear the coaches, how they respond to being asked about where this guy is, and they're like, well, it's voluntary, but you know, based off our conversation the previous segment, that they're really ticked off that these guys aren't there.
I don't know. Some coaches are and some aren't. And it really is like it's an individual thing, and some guys really want everybody there. Some players feel – a lot of times players feel like the strength coach for the team isn't that good and they'd rather do their own thing or they're better prepared if they go elsewhere. And that's why – Like, when you get into that, then all of a sudden you're competing with guys like these strength and conditioning specialists that are really good self-promoters and are convincing guys that they're never going to get injured if they work out with them. But also, like, I think for what coaches care about, it is, it's really one of the only times a year where guys really get to know each other and hang out in a relaxed way. And for coaches to really get a feel for how hard they work, you know, you can kind of tell, you can tell how much a guy cares about his job and his profession by watching him, how he goes about the offseason program. So it's really valuable for the team, but there's a little bit of, is it always ideal and the perfect, is it the perfect physical training for each player? Not necessarily, but it's the best thing for the team.
Well, with that, Mike, Seth, and Paul on a Friday, we're discussing what Tom Coughlin said about two of his better players in Jacksonville, Jalen Ramsey, Telvin Smith, missing the start of the offseason program. J.J. Watt addressed this topic last night on Texans All Access.
For me, it's just as much a chance to get better and stronger and faster and work on your physical body as it is for us all to come together as a team. Now, it's not like we're going to come out of this 9 weeks and be as tight as we're going to be at the end of training camp. But this is a chance for us to, A, get to know new guys, to get to know new guys who are coming into the program, B, reacquaint with each other after we've all been gone for these weeks, see what everybody's been up to, and then C, build those bonds that make us want to play for each other and want to be better during the season. I mean, it all starts right now, and we're not going to be holding big kumbaya meetings or anything, right. But we're going to be shooting the breeze with each other. We're going to be in the locker room playing ping pong or playing games. We're going to, you know, I'll have the guys over, we're going to play pool volleyball, and we're going to, you do things that make you create memories together so that later on down the road when you're in the fourth quarter of a game and it's tough, you want to fight for the guy next to you because you know his family, you know his background, you know him well, and you want it just as bad as he wants it.
I love pool volleyball. One of my favorite sports, actually.
Pool volleyball.
Good game.
Pool volleyball, which is like the exact opposite of water polo, which blows.
Which is awful.
If you've ever actually played actual water polo.
So bad.
It's just an exercise in misery.
Yeah, if you're soft.
Hey, guys, you like treading water?
Do you like almost drowning?
Swimming awkwardly while people kick you under the water?
Was that basically your experience, Seth? That basically it's one of these things where some people may be annoyed to attend these off-season workouts, but once you're there and you're with your guys, it does help you out.
What the hell else are you going to do? You get up, you go work out in the morning. Usually the older guys are there for the early workouts. There's like a 7 a.m. group. Sometimes some teams will have like a 6 a.m. group, and you get in. So usually the older guys are there early in the morning. The younger guys get to show up a little bit later, but you intermingle in the middle. And it's just, it's that. And then there is also, there are guys that are professional and there are guys that aren't. And there's guys that show up to OTAs 35 pounds overweight. Like, that's why OTAs are really important. For the guys that just flat out don't get it yet and don't understand how to stay in shape away from the facility, you absolutely have to get them into the facility or they'll show up to camp at 425.
You gotta track them.
Yeah, they'll be, and they're guys that'll show up, they'll show up to the facility at 425, at 425 pounds. And 2 weeks earlier, they would have just convinced themselves, I can get down to 350, no problem.
Yes.
But that's why they need intervention. They need to be around.
Seth, the more that we've been thinking about this selection the Texans have at number 23, again, we're less than a week away from this, folks. We are less than a week away next Thursday night on Sports Radio 6 and the 610. The number 23 pick overall is what the Texans own in the NFL draft. And you would be very surprised at this point, correct me if I'm wrong, if the Texans were to take Greedy Williams of LSU over Rocky Sin of Temple.
Yeah, and you know I want them to take an offensive tackle with pick number 23.
Yes.
If for whatever reason they don't take an offensive tackle, I know a lot of people really want Greedy Williams. I look at Greedy Williams and I look at Rocky Sin, who by the way, Rocky Sin is Daniel Jeremiah's second-rated cornerback, and he's had him there for a while, and all these other people are starting to catch on to Rocky Sin out of Temple. I look at those two, and I think, all right, which one is a more Bill O'Brien or Brian Gain type of guy? And it's Rocky Sin by a mile. Because Greedy Williams is tall and lengthy and uses his hands but isn't all that physical. You know, and especially, it's not just in tackling. Because everybody knows, okay, he doesn't like to tackle. Does that sound like a Bill O'Brien, Brian Gain type of guy? No. And Paul, you pointed that out a few weeks ago. But then it's just in coverage itself, too. He's handsy, like he's grabby. You can't get away with it in the NFL like you can in college, but he's not necessarily as silky and athletic as a lot of shorter cornerbacks. That's just something that comes with being a taller guy. So, and for me, the big deciding factor, if I'm going to look at Rocky Sin, who's starting to show up in the late first round for a lot of people and starting to go up, because I think people are, a lot of the draftniks who didn't know anything about Rocky Sin a year ago because he only played 1 year at Temple are starting to realize, like, oh, a lot of scouts actually like Rocky Sin. If I put Rocky Sin and Greedy Williams in a dark alley and had him fight it out, Greedy Williams would not be walking out of that alley. Like, Rocky Sin is a full-grown man. Paul, you went and watched it. You watched a bunch of Rocky
Sin. I watched
his
film last night. Yeah, so I'm on the same page as you. First off, all right, he has the biggest hands of all cornerbacks in the draft. He's got 9 7/8-inch hands. I don't know how much that matters, but he probably has mitts when it comes to catching the football.
Yeah.
He, in a game against...
And they're attached to, like, long, long arms, too.
Yes.
He's kind of like A.J. Boye, I think, where he plays a lot longer than his listed height.
Right.
Like, A.J. Boye always seemed taller than 6 foot or whatever he's listed
as. He's got some of the longer arms there, and he's in that, like, 5'11", borderline 6 foot range that the Texans seem to like their cornerbacks. On top of that, in the game against Buffalo, okay, it's Buffalo, but he had 2 interceptions, including 1 in the end zone, and he had an 100-yard interception return on a 2-point conversion. It got called back because half of his foot was out of bounds, but, I mean, he wasn't touched on the return, and he made a lot of nice plays in coverage, tipping passes. Against Boston College, he's a guy who's coming up in run support against Andre Dillard, making some really nice plays.
Yeah.
Maryland, same thing.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like anyone, when they try to test him deep, they ever get a step on him. That's the biggest thing. And Central Florida, the best team that they played, like, Central Florida was terrified of throwing the ball near him. He seems to be a really good player, and I wonder if the conference thing is held against him.
Well, and this, too. Now, I DM'd Daniel Jeremiah last night because I'm wondering, like, why...
Oh, brag.
Why are... no, that's a brag. DJ and I are tight.
The DJ.
DJ was here, and he was listening to me broadcast the Texas Bowl 1 year. And he,
yeah.
And then he let me know that he really appreciated it.
That's awesome.
Commentary. Yeah.
Nice note on a Friday.
So because he was hearing it through he was listening to the radio broadcast. Anyway, so I DM'd Daniel Jeremiah last night because I was wondering, like, why are people catching on to Rocky Sin now? And I wondered, is it because he only played 1 year at Temple? He's a transfer from Presbyterian College.
Yep.
So he is a Protestant. And he only had 1 year. And did it take a while for scouts to kind of figure him out or like go back and double check? And Daniel sounded almost indignant because Daniel Jeremiah has been high on him for a long time. He said it shouldn't. He was really good throughout the whole year, and the character was off the charts good.
Okay.
Character. What has Brian Gain mentioned several times?
Football character.
Football character. He said the word character about 4 times yesterday.
Yep.
I heard Brian Gain say character, character, character over and over again, and I'm thinking about my interaction with Daniel Jeremiah. And if they take a cornerback at 23, it's not going to be Byron Murphy. I don't think it's going to be Greedy Williams. I think it would be Rocky Sin.
You think this is the guy?
Maybe DeAndre Baker or Rocky Sin, but I think it would be Rocky Sin.
I got to say, it's only been a few minutes, but you guys have sold me on this guy. You've sold me on Rocky Sin. I still think ultimately they'll probably go with an offensive lineman at number 23, and I'll have some reasons why over the course of the show today, but you guys have sold me that Rocky Sin is at least a pretty solid option at number 23.